So with as many people get drawn to meditation, especially primarily to get some peace, some tranquility, it's like emotional balance and stability in their lives, because you usually find that people need to have some, say, like causal reason, something which actually prods them into developing and maintaining the practice as the months and the years go by. And usually find that, I mean, some people can be naturally spiritual, they can have both current life, past life development, which helps to basically instigates them and gets them practicing on a regular basis. But especially in modern society, with the speed and the busyness and all the stuff that you have to be responsible for, it increases the level of pressure on you. And with our emotional, our psychological makeup, we need just a little bit of, we need a minimum degree of time out, a degree of rest, quietitude, and some space where we can relax, calm down, get some real peace and potentially contentment of mind. Because with the speed at which modern society moves, you can't expect people to to move with that kind of that kind of pace for like 10, 20, 30 years without some kind of coping strategies, some kind of support strategies. So meditation is a very, very useful and convenient and essentially like free. Meditation doesn't cost you, doesn't cost you a cent initially. You can get free, like you've got the benefits of the group here. You've got, you've got free groups for practice, in different places, which are very, very beneficial for people overall. And once you get the basics down, you're able to practice by yourself, or you can sit in groups with other people. But instead of potentially spending money on counselling, or in extreme cases maybe counselling and therapy and stress management and engaging professionals, that many of us can, we can learn meditation and we can sort of adjust and teach ourselves, at least to a small degree. We can do regular groups and get a little bit of professional instruction and support. But with the daily practice, we have a potential there to teach ourselves, at least to a small degree, and then touch base if we get stuck or need some advice. So, and the things is with the meditation practice over the course of one's life, that it seeps very deeply into your personality and your character. So, when you look at your personal experience, on the surface to intermediate level, that this very, very simple practice, this very like non-intellectual practice to a large degree, goes, seeps quite deeply into all areas of your character, and it can affect you in many, many different ways, many, many sort of beneficial ways. And even for someone who's done it, got a daily practice, even for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then does that for 12 months, you could see, say, absolute minimum half a dozen to a dozen improving qualities in their character. The most obvious things we see are increasing peacefulness, tolerance, kindness, compassion, an increase in emotional sensitivity and intelligence, emotional intelligence in different areas, and the ability to to be more empathetic and to listen more, to listen more deeply to others, the people that we're engaged with, and less potential for anger, irritation, aggression. If you're a hard case, maybe less potential for violence and aggression. If you're a prisoner or a person in very, very intense circumstances. So even though it's a very, very simplistic in nature, it can have quite a profound effect over your personality when you look at, say, like, you know, like a 5-year say time interval. And the people around you will notice these changes potentially more quickly than you notice them yourself. And you know, because the people, our families, our friends, have a more subjective perspective on your nature, your character. Some people may feel that, you know, they're not getting very far after 3 months or maybe even 6 months, but you know, it's more sort of like a gently catchy monkey type of perspective. And you know, once the people who are close to you may see the changes much earlier than you may see them yourself, because the effect of the meditation is, you know, it can be both subtle and it can be both significant. You know, you could easily spot the certain changes, but not others that other people might see. So, you know, so when we look at the overall dynamics of the practice, you know, we're looking at this, in essence, a ability to retrain your attention. So, you know, every single one of us, we apply attention to our daily duties, responsibilities in life, and you know, in different ways, we, you know, we focus, we pay attention, we, you know, make efforts to be mindful, on a moment-to-moment basis. And so, essentially, the ability to focus and to train one's personal attention, say naturally in the meditation practice, but then that carries forth in your working life, your emotional life. And so, you know, you could say, for example, if you even did, say, absolute minimum 5 minutes, potentially 10 minutes, and you may feel the effect of that focused awareness, you know, through the course of your daily work. You know, the potential is there. And especially when you practice on a daily basis, it becomes an ingrained habit or like training within oneself. One naturally gravitates towards that potential, that ability. And so what I tend to do is something I find very particular approach I find very useful is I use this reasonably focused type of meditation, this breathing meditation, which helps get you, you know, peaceful and calm within a you know, like a reasonable space of time. Because what happens with the meditation, if you go very, very broad, you know, if you watch the full chest, or, you know, you watch the abdomen, that rise and fall of the abdomen as you're breathing, it potentially could take you twice as long than if you use a more focused area of the body. If you focus on the feelings around the mouth, focus on the mouth, and you watch the breathing at that point on the periphery of that area, you'll calm down a lot more quickly. And but it's still a very comfortable zone. It's not, you know, too restrictive, too tight. If you try to use this kind of laser beam focus at the nose tip, you know, especially for the beginners, they may find that a little bit too difficult. So by using that slightly broader focus, that you can feel it's very, very distinct, very tangible. And there's a few little tricks you can add to that, but that if anyone wants to cotton on to, we can just have a quick, I'll just pass the information to you later. But to keep it simple, uncomplicated, when we begin the meditation, we will focus on the feelings around the mouth with the breath on the periphery. And I'll talk you through it as we go along. So just with the beginner's instructions, just get your back nice and straight and put your hands in your lap. So if you have it's good to have, say, the hands touching, and even you can actually feel it. The way the energy, the way the bodily energy runs in the body, when one crosses, especially when one puts one's hands together, one can feel the difference. And if you feel comfortable with the feet touching, or even with the ankles crossed, it can help. It. It's not an absolute. You know, when you cross the limbs of the body, it helps to draw the energy inwards towards the center. Of the body. It's the way the chi, you know, it's like forming a circuit with the way chi runs in the physical body and actually in the brain as well. And just make sure you can breathe fully into the chest. There's nothing tight around the waist, around the throat, and just physically and emotionally just try to relax as much as possible, and focusing on the feelings around the mouth, and you'll feel the breathing on the periphery. So we'll do that for the full duration, the full 30 minutes of this session. So as you breathe, try and breathe, say, deeply and slowly, right into the base of the abdomen. So as the meditation continues, just try to relax as much as you can, both physically and emotionally. If you're a bit tired or sleepy and your head is starting to drop, you can keep your eyes open and that will increase your alertness. See a little bit of peace or stillness in the mind, just try to focus your attention right at that particular point. find that the mind is still a little bit busy, too much thinking, just stop for like 15-20 seconds and ask yourself, why am I thinking of that particular scenario, that person or event, or why am I attached to that particular emotion, and try to understand exactly why you think about the things you do. Because the more you understand the way one thinks and feels, the easier it is to let this activity, to let it go. we're coming towards the end of the meditation, so just reflect back and see if you see any change in the peacefulness of the mind. And I'll ring the gong 3 times. You can open your eyes when you're ready. Anybody have any questions on the meditation at all? Something which might help you is to focus on the feeling. Because in order to know the breath meditation is based on feeling and sensation, and so if you find, so if you use that particular approach, the feelings around the mouth or the feeling, there's a couple of approaches. You can watch the feeling of the breathing as the breathing moves in and out of the body. You can watch the breathing at the abdomen as the abdomen rises and falls. Because if you find your mind is a little bit busy initially, you may need maybe a more sort of tangible object. So you can also, even the full chest, you can go very, very broad. You can watch the breathing into the full chest and parts of the body, with, you know, abdomen which moves. But also, if you try those particular approaches, but it doesn't work so well. If you use these particular mantras that are based on changeability of phenomena, so like feelings are changeable. So as you're breathing out, you just think to yourself, and this keeps the thinking aspect of the mind within range, so the mind doesn't stray so far. As you're breathing out, you say mentally, feelings, and then breathing in, breathing out are changeable. So breathing in, breathing out, feelings, breathing in, breathing out are changeable. The reason is that the changeability, those mantras which are based on changeability of experience, changeability of thoughts, feelings, consciousness, energy, sunlight, can be anything, can be weather, can be the universe. It helps to increase the detachment. You know, if I'm really attached to my thoughts and feelings, my personality, my mind's going to be a lot much busier. But if you use that particular approach, if you use the, say this, they like to use the friendly kind of approach, and it works for you, all well and good. But if you've been practicing for like every day, even 5 minutes a day for 30 days, you just can't get any peace of mind at all, then use the really solid techniques. You can use things like say bodily based meditations. You can use the peripheral ones, like it could be like say like head hair or body hair or like nails, teeth, skin. If you use those, you'll calm down much faster. The body based practices are not everyone's cup of tea, but if you can't get peaceful after a full 30 days at all, just use the really firm techniques. But you can still do them for hours on end, and you won't get any unpleasant reactions with them. It's only if you start to get, you know, into this kind of practice in a major way, you can get a bit of trouble, a bit of irritation, anger, and whatnot. But just one at a time. Say like teeth. Say for example, if teeth, it's just like tangible to you. You're drawn to this kind of contemplate. You know, this very shallow contemplation of teeth. So it's breathing out. You know, teeth, breathing in, breathing out, are changeable. Or in nature, teeth, breathing in, breathing out, are changeable. Breathing in, breathing out. In nature, so, and that will get you calm, get you peaceful faster than any other technique that I tend to work with after quite a long stretch of time. And there's other little tricks you can do, but it's easier to work with initially, and you'll definitely get results with that kind of thing. And if you can't get peaceful at all, then you use the really solid techniques. You do things like, if you're really keen on meditation and you want to get results, you do things like the skeleton or the physical heart. Could it even be liver, this kind of thing. You know, you just do it very gently, but you absolutely guaranteed you get results with that approach. But so you go peripherally, teeth, head, hair, body, hair, nails, teeth, skin. If you have to use solid techniques, but you only go inside. If the meditation is absolutely hopeless after 3 months, like, you know, a couple of months, 3 months, but also in addition, the contemplation of your experience. So whatever you're attached to, whatever you're thinking about, the people, events, circumstances, whatnot, and then just ask yourself, you know, why do I keep thinking about that person? Why am I concerned about that scenario at work, and really get into it. Just stop for 20 seconds, even 30 seconds, and I keep proliferating about this, and explore it. You know, I want to sort of understand what's happening there, and really go into it like a psychologist would, because the more you understand how you think and feel, the easier it is to disentangle yourself from this kind of stuff. It might be quite important in your life, and it may have relevance and value, but you don't want to be thinking about this stuff like 16, 18 hours a day. It's a waste of mental energy. When you're meditating or when you're doing other stuff, when you're working, looking after the kids, you're driving, you know, you don't need to think of that material. You know, it might be quite important at certain times. You know, it needs to be addressed, it needs to be understood, reflected on. But you know, you really just want to—you basically want to put it to one side for a large part of your day and your evening, because most of the stuff that we think about, it's just a complete waste of time. 90% of what we think about, it's just absolute rubbish, and it's a complete waste of mental energy. So you know, so I mentioned the firm techniques. I never push these things because it's not everyone's comfortable with this kind of stuff, but it gets results very, very quickly. And the contemplation is very important. That those approaches with the breathing meditation and the contemplation, and then you watch the effect as you do different things. Watch just test each one, and watch the effect, and you see exactly what works the best for you at any particular time.
So a mantra
you said
is feelings are changeable.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever's important to you can be flowers, thoughts, feelings, consciousness, spirituality, the solar system, whatever. You could be a biologist, chemist, a botanist, whatever's important to you, whatever is meaningful, because that, if it resonates with you, that means you're going to get a little bit more depth. If I use things which are a bit airy-fairy, mean nothing to me, it's not, the effect is not that tangible. But if it's something which is really important to you, like emotions or relationships or like perception, you know, the way you perceive things. You could have some connection there, and you'll see the difference when you can do this a thousand different ways, thousands of subjects, different things, but there's certain things which mean more to you than others.
Focus on them.
Yeah, and just watch it how your mind actually responds. The peacefulness of the mind will indicate quite clearly if what you're actually doing at that particular time on that certain day is it's working for you, because people's minds constantly change on a minute to minute basis. You'll see what actually works most effectively for you on a day-to-day basis.
Isn't it in a way that for me it works better that you think, oh, that's a negative thought, and really force yourself to, you know, all beings deserve to be happy, sort of thing. And that's simplistic for me. I oversaw it. Oh, that's a negative thought. Get rid of that one. And so you only concentrate on the positive things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, anyone who's got some expertise, say, with positive thinking, like mind training, they try to draw their attention on towards, I say, like good things, wholesome things, positive, because essentially it's more beneficial. We can easily think about bad things, unpleasant things, but it's not really of any great value, and it's more painful. As soon as we start thinking about bad stuff, it doesn't feel so nice. So it's much, but it's more beneficial, and there's more beneficial for the quality of your life to focus on that which is based in goodness. You don't have to pretend to be Mother Teresa or Mahatma Gandhi, but essentially that kind of attitude. It's not only good for you, but it's good for other people, because if you interact with other people with that kind of mentality, you treat other people with that kind of attitude, they're much more likely to, they would rather associate with people like that. It's like I was on the phone with an old friend of mine going back months ago, and it was just 2 hours of negativity, unhappiness, complaining and fault finding, and the person was unhappy and miserable, and I thought, this individual is not stupid at all, and I thought, you're just making yourself miserable. But I'm just gonna have to basically just tell them, straight up. You're making yourself incredibly unhappy. And there's a lot of people who are in much more unfortunate situations than you, and you're whinging and bitching and complaining to me. And I know a lot of people who are much, much worse off than you will ever be. But some people, they completely lose their perspective. Sorry, Rachel.
One time when you were here, you demonstrated walking meditation.
We can do that.
Yeah, because I was just thinking in terms of restlessness. For me, if I'm really restless, I'll just do a walking meditation instead of a sit, and then do a sit, and it just calms my mind.
Okay. Right. So
some people here wouldn't have no idea you can do walking meditation.
So with the instructions is. When we first begin, many of you may have, say, like hallways or corridors in your home, which may be long enough. So the minimum amount of steps, comfortable steps, would be, at least 15. Like a long walk for the monks is probably about 30 to 40 steps, but it's in relation to how long you can sustain your attention. I don't use the word concentration because it's not the right word. We're looking at peacefulness, stillness of mind. The amount of energy it takes to focus on the breathing meditation, the walking meditation, is very, very minimal. It's just nothing. It's just a matter of, if you place your attention on the tip of your finger, or on the tip of your earlobe, it's just like nothing. It's the thinking process which essentially obstructs you. So after you choose the distance, minimum say 15 to 30 paces in somebody's home or backyard, and the posture that you adopt is you have your hands together, like hands clasped, like so, or it could be even fingertips touching, whatever feels bodily comfortable. And then as you look forward, you place your attention between roughly 6 to 10 feet in front of you, and you keep the physical body and the facial muscles and the eyes relaxed. Then as you walk, so you walk say from this position, and as you walk at a comfortable pace. You can actually feel it, the right speed, the right pacing with the steps. And so, you know, whatever say induces the peacefulness of mind. And then as you stop, say the lead foot, if you've got problems with your knees at all, you can bring both feet together, and then you move the feet at 90 degrees. So my left foot, if I go off on my left foot, I move 90 degrees, 90 degrees, 90 degrees, and then, you know, you just step, and you know, just stay very, very relaxed. Maybe in the beginning, you just watch the soles of the feet, because if you go very broad, you won't get the peacefulness that quickly. It will take a lot longer. So the feelings, the sensations in the soles of the feet, but if you can't, if you still can't get calm or any peace of mind, then you can use the reflection on your thinking, your emotional experience, you know, what you're attached to, what the mind is spinning on, and or you can use those changeability mantras which induce the more stability of mind. And so, you know, absolute minimum, because the stillness takes, you know, it usually takes at least twice as long. You know, you may not necessarily see good results with the walking meditation for, you know, you've got to be walking absolute minimum, like 10 to 20 minutes before you actually see any real peacefulness of mind. It usually takes twice as long. But the stillness that you get will last much longer. So if you sit meditation for 30 minutes and you walk meditation for 30 minutes, because the walking meditation is feeling based, it's like tangible feeling based, and you'll find that the peacefulness and the focus, your mental focus, will last much longer. It's more tangible. So,
can you also focus on the breath while you're doing the walking meditation?
Yeah, you can. You can focus on the breathing and both on the feeling of the breath and the feeling in the feet. So you look through the breathing meditation, through the breath, and you focus on your feet. So, say for example, somebody needs to apply like more mental energy. You can be watching the breathing as you're looking down, and you can also encompass the feeling in or the sensations in the feet as well. It's like you've got this periphery of awareness, and both the breathing and the sensations in the feet, you're like aware of them both. I'm not sure if you've got time for questions, Rachel. You just let me know when you want to.
David, is there not a question in the box? Where's David?
There is one.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, what is the pretty blind? What is the ideal time to meditate, and for how long, as an experienced meditator, well, essentially, I mean, you know, we've seen, so like long-term lay disciples who can meditate, you know, like, I mean, even 3 to 4 hours a day, and that's when they were working. They could still do 3 to 4 hours a day, but they had to adjust their whole daily routine. So, you know, working, you know, maybe 9 to 5 or could be 7 to 4 or whatnot. But they structure their home life so they can at least get several hours in. And I know one engineer who likes to sit for, like, he sits for like 2 hours straight before he goes to work, which is quite impressive. And so I hope he can actually think and function at work when he's there. But he hasn't lost his job yet, so he must be doing okay. And so, you know, with the time scale, so, you know, in relation with your daily routine and responsibilities, you know, when you've got time, some people have only got like 5 minutes, some people have only got 60 seconds because they're running a company. You know, they're a bit stressed and they just snatch a little, you know, a couple of minutes here and there, which they can do comfortably. But, you know, they could do like a 1 minute meditation. You know, they could easily do that three or four times a day because, you know, they're just incredibly busy. And for how long, you know, depending on how much time you've got, you know, you can use these changeability mantras. You can do these like a mantra, one mantra per minute. And, you know, you can do that like 18 hours, 16, 18 hours a day. It's incredibly light, but when you do it for hours and hours on end, you know, you can get your mind peaceful with that. I mean, no problem at all. Like, if I do that for, I mean, even 30 minutes, you know, I don't have to sit and walk meditation. If there's, you know, if I'm at home with my parents and I have to do stuff for my father, or if I'm, you know, if I could be, it doesn't happen very often, but if I'm working all day and I can't practice, if I just do that 1 minute, one mantra per minute, you know, I can keep my mind peaceful for days, 3, 4, 5 days, and then I'm not meditating at all. I'm not sitting and walking at all. I'm just doing this little 1 minute mantra, and it can keep your mind peaceful all day and night. So it's not to be underestimated. I've been practicing a lot longer, but it doesn't mean that you people can't do this. It's just a skill. It's just a little technique. And the only thing which stops you, which obstructs you with these little meditations or these mini meditations, is just your thinking mind. You know, once you can essentially detach, you know, once you develop the so contemplations, different meditations, in order to detach from, you know, like thinking and strong emotions, you can get peaceful quite quickly, and you know that peacefulness can last, I mean, essentially all day. You know, if I meditate for an hour in the morning, essentially, you know, my mind will be peaceful, even if I'm, you know, I can be talking and doing stuff and busy and this and that, but my mind will still, you know, still be peaceful all day. Even one of our ex-monks who was using the chainsaw, working in the forest, you know, 20 minutes. I mean, he was focused. Like, he understood the meditation dynamics, and he told us he was focused for, you know, 8 hours or 8.5 hours, even with the chainsaw like screaming. For, you know, minimum, absolute minimum, 5 hours, 6 hours straight, and he could still feel that his mind was focused, even with that, you know, even with that going on. And so the actual how long you should meditate for, really just try to feel it out. You know, most people need, you know, if you're racing around like a maniac, you may only have like 1 minute, these 1 minute meditations. Some people have maybe 5 minutes, 5 minutes at a time. Maybe 5 minutes before they go to work, or maybe as soon as they come home, or at lunchtime, that you can handle comfortably, because you've got to be able to perform. Otherwise, if you do, the monks have to be more careful that they don't, you know, they don't forget things, you know, because your mind gets a little bit too quiet. But you know, if you can do, you know, if you've got time, say minimum, if you want to see results, minimum 30 minutes an hour, and then just actually see what works for you. You know, for some people it might take you a full hour to get, you know, like a really solid meditation, but you know, you will get much better as time goes by. Maybe over time, maybe after 6 months, 12 months, it may only take 30 minutes to reach the same level of peacefulness. And you know, because meditation's it's like a skill that you become more experienced with as time goes by. It goes by. Now you know the little tricks, the little methods that you can use to get the stability, the emotional.
Is there a quality and quantity thing?
It depends on the individual, but right in the very beginning, it will be it'll be quantity to a degree. It's not like carved in stone, but the raw beginners, you know, they have to do like absolute minimum five minutes at a time to even see any result, just in at the very start, and then over time, if they're able to increase the time duration, even better. But you know, say for example, you know, I mean, I can see for myself within 5 minutes, I can see the mind getting peaceful. But they may have to do that. They may have to do that every single day, without fail. Otherwise, they lose a bit of ground. And then you know, you'll see, you know, so both applying skillfulness, applying techniques and your understanding, your experience with the practice. So if you can only sit for 5 minutes, but your mind is racing, there's something scenario going on, and then just stop and contemplate that, you know, for 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, because using just pure force, pure mental energy, you know, that's only half the practice. You've got to reflect and understand what you're going through. You know, if I'm thinking about a particular individual or a conversation, you know, I just don't blindly keep sitting or walking. You know, you need to understand what's actually happening there. Otherwise, you just won't let it go. It's like people who don't develop their understanding, their wisdom faculty, that stuff can keep going, and keep spinning in the mind. I mean, for years or 5 years, you know, it's That's why I always mention that business with insight, understanding. You know, samadhi is only half the business. Wisdom ultimately has much more ability to get you peaceful in the long term and for longer stretches of time, because it's just that same thing. It's that thinking mind which essentially obstructs you. All of you have the mental energy and to focus effortlessly and to get very, very deep states of meditation, but it's just this, you know, this I wouldn't say crazy, but this thinking monkey mind which blocks you. As soon as you stop that, you just go very fast, just deep into very profound states within. If you had the ability to stop your thinking mind, to shut it down, if you get that, maybe some kind of incredible experience, you know, I mean, within 5 minutes, if you're able to stop that completely within 5 minutes, you know, you've got an incredible state rolling at that point. So you know, it's just all the silly stuff we keep thinking about. Some of it's quite important to you, quite relevant. But not, you know, not 18 hours a day. You know, you want to stop that kind of stuff. It just draws excessive energy. Should I stop there, Rachel? Or
is there anything else from anybody else, especially newcomers, people who have no idea what happened? No questions? Any more questions from anybody else? Going.
What are the profound states?
Well, on yeah, So from your experience, it would be something that you just don't get. You know, so like your worldly experience, it's like an otherworldly experience. It's like going to another world. So when you go into deep meditation and you withdraw from the five senses into stillness, then you're moving into, say, the world of the mind. So something which comes up with the monks, and this is not like profound meditation, but it's things like you have the experience of having like a small universe inside your mind, the level of spaciousness, incredible space inside the mind. Or as you're maybe at the beginning stages, as you're thinking, and then you just see this absolute silence for maybe 5 seconds, 10 seconds between the thoughts, and that, you know, that may amaze you. So little things like, you know, standing, it's this kind of perception. A feeling of standing on a high cliff top at night time, looking out into a vast universe. It's that kind of the variations in perception and mood and ways of it's the way you see your mind, the way you see your physical body, like little things like your consciousness, your awareness is like an atom inside like a mountain. Your conscious awareness is the size, your focused awareness is the size of an atom inside a mountain. And things like that. Well, there's all sorts of weird and strange things which may be quite useful to you when you reflect on them. You're quite encouraging, they keep you going. But that kind of stuff is, any of the people here could have that kind of experience easily within the first 5 years. The monks get very, very strange stuff within that time, that kind of time frame. And you can do like a lot better than that. That's like, that's at the beginning stages. But even then, you wouldn't be disappointed.
Here's a question: can you lose it?
If your life gets very, very busy, or you're under great stress, or your family life is really, you know, incredibly, there's a lot of stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the strength of the practice. If you're a long-term practitioner, the practice will be more firm, and it will take a lot more stress and stuff and busyness and calamity to mm-hmm. shake you. But you know, if you've been meditating for 20 years, you know, you've really, you know, for 10 or 20 years, it's got to be things like if your mum and dad dies or you lose your child, that could just absolutely completely shake you up severely for 6 months, 12 months. But it's just that same thing again, you know, the skillfulness in practice and the insight, the ability to have a sense of solidity. You know, no matter what happens, it just the practice just doesn't fall apart that easily. That's why I always keep pushing this the skillfulness, you know, techniques. Don't be afraid to experiment and investigate and just watch the effect. You know, that people are very, very different in their temperaments. Mm-hmm.